being targeted. This is a rolling back of some of the most basic norms and laws of war. This is not just a test, it's a test that's being failed in a very fundamental way, and therefore raises profound questions about the purposes not just of foreign policy, but of the humanitarian system.
Let me come to the future in a second, but let's just go back 4 or 5 years. You allude there to failures by implication. What were those failures and how did they come about?
I think that there's been a desperate failure to match means and ends. That has happened really since the beginning of the Syria crisis. The original call was obviously for Assad to go. That was the end that was desired, but there were no means to then fulfill that. UN Security Council resolutions have been passed. Words have been said about humanitarian aid, two UN Security Council resolutions about humanitarian aid, but they've not been followed up in a way that has brought help and life and livelihood to the people of Syria. And so the failure is a real one, and the buck stops at the UN Security Council fundamentally. I think it's very, very important to say that while the statistics about Syria are shocking, the fact that 220,000 people are dead, that 4 million refugees are in neighbouring countries, that the third largest city in Jordan is now a refugee camp, even more shocking is that there is no effective political process at all currently underway to bring the Syria conflict to an end. That the most that can be said is that the UN envoy is trying to bring a temporary truce in one city in Syria. That is deeply, deeply shocking for anyone who believes it's the responsibility of the international system to end war and bring peace.
So what needs to be done? And what should the UK government be doing?
I think that there are three things that are very straightforward to do and one thing that's very, very difficult to do. I mean, straightforwardly, every permanent member of the Security Council and every one of the regional powers should appoint a humanitarian envoy so that day in, day out, the will of the UN expressed in UN resolutions to get cross-border aid into the country is being fulfilled. With the best will in the world, Philip Hammond can't be focusing on Syria every day, but he can appoint a humanitarian envoy of real standing to be doing that job every day. Secondly, there needs to be much more help to the neighbours that are buckling under the strain. Thirdly, Western countries do need to take a fair share of those most vulnerable citizens who've been persecuted and tortured. The most difficult thing is there needs to be an imaginative, driven approach by not just the Western powers, but the local powers, Saudi Arabia and Iran included, to bring a political conclusion to it.
Isn't one of the reasons for the vacuum that you have been describing in the last few minutes this, that to a lot of people, the idea of diplomacy has sort of gone by the board, that they say, well diplomacy is weakness, diplomacy is a talking shop, diplomacy doesn't work. How do you get into a situation in which diplomacy has the bite to do what you and many other people right across the political spectrum in many different countries think is needed?
Well, diplomacy works when it is combined with real pressure. I mean, for example, it's obvious that the Russian veto of successive resolutions and engagement over the last few years has diminished the Security Council and divided it and prevented action. It's equally obvious that in the circumstances that we see in Ukraine, there's an argument to be made about Russia's role in the global international system. Equally, the creation of ISIS that has been the product of the vacuum that you refer to in the center and east of Syria is the enemy of all. To hear you say that diplomacy has had its day, or that such is the fatigue that we should give up on diplomacy, is, I think, not just a council of despair, it's a council of disaster. The world stands actually between diplomacy and disaster, and diplomacy needs the kind of engagement and pressure that is sadly missing at the moment.
David Miliband, thank you very much.
Thank you.